Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy, your monthly source of all things energy, brought to you on the furthermost and outermost airwaves of WOMR's community radio at 92.1 WOMR Provincetown and 91.3 WFMR Orleans. You can also listen to our show live or listen to archived editions from anywhere in the world at WOMR.org. This month on Focus on Energy, Stefan Wallenberg and I are joined by Bram Kleiss, the Deputy Director of Renewable and Alternative Energy Development with the Massachusetts Department of Energy Resources, to talk a little bit about a study that was performed in the wake of National Grid's announcement of a 5 to 7 year moratorium on new natural gas hookups in several of the towns that National Grid serves on the Cape. But first, we're joined by Cape Light Compact's Lindsay Henderson to give us a quick update on some springtime activities and offers available through Cape Light Compact's energy efficiency programs. Hey, Lindsay, welcome back.
Thank you.
So spring is here. We're in May now, and summer's just around the corner. Wanted to bring you in and talk a little bit about some of the happenings of Cape Light Compact and what's going on. Some tips and some enhancements or limited time rebates that are available for folks now that they're starting to think about the summer. Early air conditioning. What can you tell us about that?
Yes. So right now we have an offering. If you have a home energy assessment between now and the end of August, our energy specialists will take a look if you have a central air conditioning system or an air source heat pump. They'll see if it's over 12 years old. We have a limited time offer right now where we will offer an additional $500 above our current incentive to replace that.
So new equipment has a rebate up to $500 as well, right? So you could be looking at $1,000 if you get a high-end piece of equipment.
Exactly,
right?
Yes.
So for those folks who think they may have an air conditioner that's over 12 years old, that's a good opportunity to give us a call.
And that's in working order.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, so it needs to be working. Another thing with that, too, is that, you know, an air conditioner that's 12 years old has got to be pretty inefficient.
Exactly.
So not only will you get the incentive, but you'll
get
save some money too.
Yes, something more efficient.
Lindsay, with the early air conditioner, that is, there's also an early furnace going on right now too, right?
Yes, and we talked about that a little bit last month, but during the same period, through an energy assessment, if you have a oil or propane boiler that's more than 30 years old, or an oil or propane furnace that's more than 12 years old.
Okay.
There's an additional incentive available for that as well.
Okay, so for those folks who may have built their house over 12 years ago and installed a furnace and air conditioner at the same time, might be worth it to get them both replaced and take advantage of some limited time incentives.
Exactly.
Heat loan financing on the balance of that, is that possible for folks as well? Less the rebates, of course.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that is some information you can learn more about on our website, too.
Yep, and the website for these early replacement rebates is capelightcompact.org/early.
Oh, that's
pretty
easy.
So we have a webpage for these, has all of them on the same page. It's
okay.
Pretty informative.
All right, and folks can obviously give us a call, too, if they have questions or if they want more information. Probably the best way would be our call center, right?
Yes.
And that number is 1-800-797-6699 for those who are not familiar with the Cape Light Compact. Anything else going on?
Second refreezer that you're not using, or it only holds, you know, a couple cans of soda or something. We have a company that works with us that will come and pick it up for free for you and send you a $50 mail-in rebate.
Oh.
Or a $50 rebate in the mail.
Well, we'll send you a $50 check to get rid of that old.
Yes.
And again, that probably needs to be in working order.
It needs to be working. It needs to be accessible.
Yep.
You know, they can take it out of a basement as long as they have a clear path.
And those babies can cost quite a bit of money, too, old refrigerators.
They do cost quite a bit.
A lot of folks, when they get a new one, they say, oh, this one still works. I'll put my old refrigerator in the garage or down in the basement and keep some soda cold. Those can cost a lot of money to operate. And now that it's springtime, Lindsay, I think that, well, at least in my case, I'm beginning to think about turning on my dehumidifier.
Yes.
Any tips, tricks, anything that people should know about coming into the spring and summer that can help them save a little bit of energy?
Yeah, so you want to make sure that your dehumidifier is Energy Star rated.
Okay.
But you want to make sure that it is sized properly for your space. You don't want to have something that's too small that's going to work too hard, or something that's too large, you know, it's not going to work right for the space. You also want to make sure that it's on the right setting. You know, try to keep it as low as possible, and that way it uses a lot less energy, because unfortunately dehumidifiers use a lot, and our Cape homes have a lot of moisture.
And for folks too that may have a crawl space or someplace where there's vents, that, you know, I think the old rule of thumb was open them in the summer and close them in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the opposite of what people should do. And just make sure that if you have your vents open, that you close them up in the summertime, because you're just letting that moisture in underneath your home. And then also you can give us a call through our home energy assessment. We can take a look and see if there's ways to stop that moisture issue, right?
Exactly.
If you have a dirt floor or something like that, we could probably cover it.
Yeah, I know. Insulate, in my house, it was great, because I have some crawl spaces under certain rooms, and they put plastic down, and it's cut down on not only the moisture, but the dust in my home as well.
Yeah, and we all know that moisture, if left unmitigated, can lead to mold and some pretty bad indoor air quality results for your home, and especially if you have kids that may have asthma, something like that.
That's yes.
Probably not good for them. Lindsay, as a Cape Light Compact staff member, I already know this, but our listeners probably don't. We're working on our 3-year plan, 2016 to 2018. For folks who are not familiar with what that is, every 3 years we submit a plan for our energy efficiency goals for the next three years. And we are doing a little bit of outreach, right, in the upcoming months for the public?
Yes. So we've been busy in the month of April trying to put our draft plan together that we filed on April 30th. Our next draft is due in September, and then our final plan is due at the end of October. So over the next several months, we'll be doing lots of outreach meetings and presentations all over the Cape and the Vineyard. I'm just trying to get some input from you folks, what you're looking for in energy efficiency, if you like what we have proposed, or if you have any suggestions on how to do things better. We really want to hear from you.
Yeah. So keep an eye out. People can probably find those presentations or the meetings when they get scheduled. They're probably not scheduled all yet.
They haven't been all scheduled yet, but we'll probably, you know, set up some sort of a web page, or you can sign up for our newsletter at capelightcompact.org/newsletter, and we will definitely send out some information once we have those presentations and meetings scheduled.
Great. So we can get the public out there, let us know what we're doing good, what would they like us to do differently.
Yes.
And get some fresh eyes on these plans. Well, thanks for joining us, Lindsay, and I look forward to a busy spring and summer.
All right. Thank you.
As many of you may recall, late last year, National Grid abruptly placed a moratorium on new natural gas hookups in about 8 of the towns that it serves here on Cape Cod, citing safety concerns with the underground distribution system. The disruption is not only extended from planned new development, but also to the numerous homes and businesses that have been looking to convert from oil or propane over to natural gas to save on their heating bills. Well, there's not all bad news, though, because in response to the moratorium, the Cape Light Compact has partnered up with the Massachusetts Department of Energy Resources to study and bring a wealth of information to you about the alternative methods to home heating and cooling, those that are available not only to the towns affected by the moratorium, but to everyone located on Cape Cod and the islands. The result may be surprising to many people. The other sources, some renewable sources, can compete with a relatively low lifetime cost often associated with natural gas. So, and now I'd like to welcome Stefan Wallenberg from Cape Light Compact and Bram Kleiss, the Deputy Director of Renewable and Alternative Energy with Development with the Massachusetts Department of Energy Resources, to talk a little bit about the study and about what's available for folks here on the Cape and Islands who may not have access to natural gas. Bram, Stefan, welcome to Focus on Energy.
Thanks.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for coming down from Boston, Bram. That was quite a trip just to come down and sit with us for Focus on Energy, but we appreciate it.
Yep, I made it all right.
Good. Fantastic. Well, luckily spring's here, and you didn't have to deal with snow. I guess it's getting out of the city that's probably the worst part for you. But we wanted you to come down today and have both of you guys talk with us because, as most folks know, there was quite a bit of news last year when a moratorium on natural gas development hit a number of towns in Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. And that kind of accelerated the process, my understanding of such, in some efforts that the Cape Light Compact and the Department of Energy Resources have partnered up with to bring not only, you know, information but other resources to the residents of Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard as well. So take it away. What have you guys been working on?
Well, we've been at the Department of Energy Resources with our sister agency of the Mass Clean Energy Center, working more and more on renewable alternatives for heating and cooling homes and businesses. Things like ground source heat pumps, air source heat pumps, biomass pellet boilers, solar hot water, technologies that have been around for a while, but that are slowly gaining momentum, that are seeing more and more uptick. And that's important because actually a very big chunk of the energy that we use in our homes and businesses is actually used for heating and cooling. And people think a lot about lighting and electricity use and all kinds of devices, but heating and cooling is a very big chunk of energy use. So since we want to provide alternatives for those, we've been ramping up programs to inform people about the advantages, benefits, challenges with those technologies so they can make their own decision. So when this moratorium was announced by National Grid at the end of last year on the Cape, we wanted to help out to the extent that we could, and also saw it really as an opportunity to inform people on the Cape, in the affected towns, but really
everywhere
in the Cape and on the islands too, that these technologies are available, and that if they were thinking of converting away from fuel oil or electric resistance, whatever they had, propane, to natural gas, and now they can't anymore because of the moratorium, that there's actually other options out there that they can look at, and that may very well be actually really interesting to them, either for an existing home or if they're building a new home.
Right, a new development. That's one thing that there's been a lot of pushback for, and when the moratorium hit, at least in the affected towns, was development companies, builders, people planning remodels or new construction. Yeah. Now they're in a position where they can't bank on this inexpensive gas heat, so they're looking for other options. So you mentioned renewable energy and renewable heating sources. Now, when people think of that, I hate to just make it the assumption for the general public, but when you think renewable energy, most people probably picture wind turbines or they picture solar panels. But you had mentioned other things like, you know, heat pumps and biomass.
Right.
And how do those work into the definition of renewable thermal that you're considering in a lot of your efforts?
Right. And that's a question that we get a lot. We really want to look at sources of energy that are using natural occurring sunlight or temperature differences in the air or in the underground to generate heating energy or cooling energy that can be used in a building. So it's a very broad approach. People know solar PV very well, and increasingly so. It's been very successful over the past couple of years in Massachusetts and on the Cape. So solar thermal, for example, what we call solar thermal or solar hot water, works very similar to solar PV in the sense that you put panels on your roof or wherever you have space that's not shaded to heat water that then can be used to offset the domestic hot water installation in your home or to offset the space heating in your home. Similarly, heat pumps, and we can make a very detailed technical case of what
let's keep it at a ninth grade level.
it kind of taps into the energy that's available in the air, and then converts it to something that you can use in your home. Ground source heat pumps do that for the underground.
Yep.
And then biomass, we really look at biomass wood pellets, very small compressed wood pellets made from wood residues from timber or furniture industries that work very similar. I mean, wood burning has been obviously around for quite a while now, but it's getting much more sophisticated and clean burning and energy efficient. And it's renewable because the resource can be renewed.
And for people as lazy as I am, if you think about burning wood, you might be thinking about getting up in the middle of the night to go down to the basement and throw a couple another logs in the fire. With wood pellets, That's not necessarily going to be the case. Okay. So another little added benefit there.
And you don't need to chop wood. You don't need to stack wood. You need to stack some bags of pellets, I guess, every once in a while.
So you're going to have to get your exercise somewhere else. But
yeah, bags or pellets. Or in the devices that we really want to push are the automated, automatically fed boilers that are really very similar to how a fuel oil boiler works, or a furnace, or a gas furnace or boiler for that matter. It sits in your basement, heats your whole house. And you have to have like a big, there's many different forms, but a storage bin for a large quantity of pellets that are delivered like oil is with a truck.
That's interesting. I actually like to think that I know a lot about the different technologies that are out there, but you just brought up something that I had no idea, that there's whole house boilers and furnaces.
Yep.
You know, a lot of people, when they picture a pellet stove, it's the little thing that sits in the corner of your living room that you pour a gallon of pellets into every night or something like that. But
yeah, and those are awesome.
They're awesome.
They work great.
They go larger scale, too.
It's a bit bigger scale, more automated, cleaner burning. Yep. So, yeah. That being said, pellet, definitely bulk delivery with a truck. Truck on the Cape, the availability is not quite up to the level than we see in other parts of the state, like the western part of the state. So it's maybe not the first option for people to really look into. We're actually working at the DOAR to increase availability, and we do think in the next couple of years that will get better. And since this moratorium is going to be around for a while, keep it in mind. But kind of the first most appropriate or the most evident options will be the heat pumps, ground air source heat pumps, and solar thermal, I think.
So when you're contemplating investing in new heating equipment, whether it's heat boiler or hot water, you have a lot of different options in what you can use for fuel source or what you can use for technology. You know, everything from electric resistance to fuel oil, propane, air source heat pumps, as you mentioned, ground source heat pumps. For kind of the regular Joe the plumber that lives on Cape Cod, and I've got a house, I've got a really old oil-fired boiler, I hate getting this stuff delivered every 3 weeks in the wintertime, I want to move to something else. What's the first step? What should that person be thinking about? And kind of what is the goal, not only from the efficiency and cost-saving standpoint for the homeowner, but then also the larger global impacts about the decisions that we make?
Well, I think they need to look at the kind of building that they live in. Joe the plumber, if he lives in a building that is well-insulated or not, does it have a lot of rooms or not, does it have a basement or a garage that is attached to the house? All those, the answer to those questions is going to determine what kind of technology is going to be a good fit. And then based on that, you can look at, do you want to save costs immediately?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do a whole house retrofit that includes cooling or not? And how important are lifetime savings on the fuel for you? Very important for us as well is the environmental benefits of the technologies. We see that from these renewable thermal technologies that the emissions of greenhouse gas compared to the fossil fuel or electric resistance,
mm-hmm.
traditional heating sources are much lower. That's very important to us as well. Similarly, air emission, local air pollution, especially if you're switching away from oil to heat pumps or solar thermal, are going to be very significant, which is of high importance to us too. There's a lot of factors that go into that. I think you need to research a bit what the options are.
Yeah.
And that's where we come in as well.
That's where we're partnering up, right?
And CEC is really, because it is, I can imagine that people are a bit daunted by all the crazy technologies out there and don't know where to go. And we know that. So we really want to inform people, give them the facts so they can make their decision, but help them out and point them in the direction of people that have been working in this field for a long time on the Cape to give them the best advice that they can get.
And a lot of that information is located on our website, it will be very shortly. And actually some graphics as well that you had put together, that I had seen. Obviously, we can't describe them very well over the radio here, but
well, we could try.
Yeah, so some really good visualizations about that upfront cost versus right. long-term investment of yeah. these different technologies, and you know, it is overwhelming, and a lot of people. I mean, we're all in this every single day, and we right. know how much there is out there. But for the regular homeowner, there's a lot of choices, so it's right. it's good to have that information hub. So folks can log on to our website at capelightcompact.org and see that, and we'll probably have some links out to DOER's website, the Clean Energy Center as well, for a lot of these different technologies. Mm-hmm. And just so folks know, not everything that we're describing here is incentivized by the Cape Light Compact, but it's still something that we promote. So, you know, we're here not only to get you energy efficiency incentives, but to give you information so you can make a good decision in your home as well. So you'd mentioned air source, ground source heat pumps, and we had said how it's just really a more effective way to use electricity to over electric resistance. But there's also a potential, if you partner that up with solar photovoltaics, that you could potentially go net zero in your house, right? Where you produce as much electricity as you consume. That might be pretty good for folks. Stefan, how are the electricity markets? How are they looking over time and historically, and then also into the future? Probably not getting any cheaper, right?
Probably not. I mean, that's one of the great things about renewables, right? Besides just the emissions reductions, one of the nice things about renewables like solar is that you can avoid price volatility. So, you know, with oil and to a lesser extent with gas, but also with even wood pellets, you're going to see the price of that fluctuate over the life of the system. So you may not know exactly what you're going to be paying to heat your home with oil or with gas 10 years from now or something like that. But one of the nice things about solar is that really all of that cost gets rolled into the upfront cost. So you make a big payment upfront, generally depending on how you finance it, and then you essentially get the power for free over the life of the system, or at least you know what you're going to be paying for it. So that's another great benefit about doing solar coupled with air-sourced or ground-sourced heat pumps. Because, yeah, I mean, as everybody has seen firsthand, electricity prices have been really volatile and really high lately. And, you know, they may go down a little bit a couple of years from now if we get more natural gas pipeline coming up into New England. But who knows how long that could take, and who knows that if that will be effective or not. So that's another great benefit of thinking about pairing up solar PV with air source or ground source heat pump, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, we see from the modeling that we've done that especially air source heat pumps with solar PV, with the current incentives that are available, both for air source heat pumps and for solar PV, which are substantial, mm-hmm. That air source heat pumps plus PV today is the cheapest way to heat your house, looked over the lifetime, even compared to natural gas. So it's definitely a really interesting option for people that can install it. And can install it right. means, do you have the right roof to install right. A solar PV panel on your roof? Or is there a community shared solar project in your area that you can participate in? I think that combination of technologies is something that we want to increasingly push. Mm-hmm. I think it offers benefits that are not available if you're just looking at one technology.
Right.
And heat pumps and solar PV is definitely a great example. Biomass and solar hot water, for example, another great way to look at that. What Stefan said about the predictability and the volatility inherent with some of the fossil fuels that you buy is very important. Most of the technologies that we're talking about here, ground source heat pumps for sure, biomass, air source heat pumps to some extent, are more expensive when you buy them, which is why we make rebates available, either through MassSave and Capelight Compact or Mass Clean Energy Center. But that upfront cost, you can make that money back pretty quickly through the cost savings on the fuel side and when you're using the technology.
And in many cases, there's actually going to be financing available to help with the cost, those upfront costs.
Right, right.
So even if it is a big upfront cost, you can pay it back over time, probably at a reduced interest rate, which okay. is another thing that people should consider.
And if you're paying for it out of your energy savings, you're still saving money.
Exactly. Right. That's the idea.
I guess even if you're spending the same amount of money, but you're just shifting some of the costs over to a, you know, financing mechanism versus
paying the oil guy or paying the electric bill every month, at least you're making an investment in your home. And obviously it helps your property value as well. I think with resale is another important part that, that folks will look for. For folks that are interested in air source heat pumps specifically, that's a big push at the Compact lately is, go to our website and we have a lot of information. As a sponsor of the MassSave program, collectively statewide, we oversee a program called CoolSmart. And we have a lot of informational videos on our website about how the air source heat pumps work. Mini split heat pumps are especially popular nowadays. I imagine most people have seen one in someone's house because they're an easy retrofit. You can pop it right in. It takes about a day. And no ductwork, no piping needed. Just cut a hole through the wall and pop it in and plug up the hole and you're good to go. Right. So we've got information and rebates available for that. Rebates up to $500 per unit. And then the Clean Energy Center has a rebate as well for residential customers, right?
Right, for the what we call the cold climate air source heat pumps. So those are the ones that, as the name kind of implies, the ones that work very well, even down to very cold temperatures, like the ones that we've seen in the winter that only seems like yesterday. The air source heat pumps that are supported through Clean Energy Center can and have been delivering through that winter.
Right. Because one of the negative connotations that people have of heat pumps is remembering the heat pumps of the 70s and 80s right. that wouldn't work very effectively after, you know, below 40 degrees. And they're getting, the performance is getting a lot better. So don't be afraid of heat pumps. give us a call or contact the Clean Energy Center for more information about how that can help you out. And then also, as Stefan mentioned, we do have a financing mechanism for a lot of things through MassSave, and that's the heat loan. And as always, we'll just advise people that if, you know, let us come out to your house and give you some information and sign up for that free home energy assessment that you're paying for every single month on your electric bill. You can give us a call to sign up for that. Our direct line is 1-800-797-6699. We can get you signed up and get out there and do an assessment shortly. And at the assessment as well, ask them questions about this stuff. If you hear it and you have questions about, you know, alternative fuels, ask your auditor and hopefully they can, you know, provide as much information as possible. So what's next for the Cape Light Compact and DOER in this partnership? Where are we going from here? We've got a bunch of information pulled together. We're starting to reach out to people. What are our next steps and what can people expect down the line?
Well, we've done a lot of modeling and calculating, and we've made materials available. Now we want to really hit the road and make sure that people find those materials either online, but also we're going to go out, talk to whoever wants to have us, tell them what is available, give them the facts. And then our colleagues over at the Clean Energy Center are ramping up a concierge service, which is really going to be a comprehensive service really for the Cape. Anybody on the Cape that wants to learn more, find out how these technologies work, if it could be a good fit for them or not, so that they can make an informed decision. So at the end of the day, it's making information available for people, as well as incentives. So all the technologies, and that's really important, all the technologies that we've been talking about today have rebate for them. The renewable technologies have rebates, you can get low cost financing through the heat loan, MassSave heat loan for them, including for biomass pellets now, which is really a big deal.
Right. So those folks that are a little bummed out that they can't switch over to natural gas, don't worry. We're here, and we might be, you know, even be able to get you into a better scenario or situation.
Right? That's just it, right? I mean, even the people that can get gas, that are looking at a new home and have access to gas, I think that the exciting thing about this is that just taking a closer look at the options that are already available with the incentives that are already available, there may be a better option than gas or propane or whatever someone was considering originally. So that I think that's the really exciting thing here is this is a great opportunity to point out what we already knew, which is that we already have great alternatives to what people might have been considering otherwise. And we've got the information to back it up.
So we've got the information. Now it's just getting it out there. Well, I want to thank you guys for joining me and bringing this information to folks. And just remind everyone that There's going to be a flood of information available on our website very shortly, so give us a call or visit our website, www.capelightcompact.org, and just look at all the information that, Brahm, you've pulled together. I think, you know, we've all been working pretty collaboratively on this, and I think that it's
not just me.
It's good evidence of the partnership between program administrators and then also the state through the Department of Energy Resources, and really the good that we can do. So thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks a lot.
For more information on efficient heating options, visit our website at capelightcompact.org/CC options, where you can find the results of the study that was done with the Department of Energy Resources and the Clean Energy Center. Meanwhile, we'll see you here next month, same time, same place, at Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy.